Community Church, and thank you guys again so much for being here today. I would love for you guys to take out your telephone. We don't even call it telephone. I got old. Where did I get that word at? If you could bring out your cell phones, there you go, your smartphones, your digital devices. I would love for you guys to keep it out almost for the remainder of the message today, but we're going to begin today by asking you, if you've never followed us on Bethel Community Church on our Facebook page or liked us on Facebook or followed us on Instagram, we would love for you to take a couple of minutes and do that. If you've never rated us on Facebook, we would love for you to take that next step and do that. And the reason why is because people will go to a Facebook page sometimes even before they go to a website, and they will see what you think about this place. And if you say good things about it, there's a good chance that they will go there. Does that make sense? Everybody say yes. So we would love for you to do that, but I would also like you to keep your phones out just for a moment. I want to do this now, and I don't know how all this is going to go, so you guys be praying through this whole message. But I'm going to throw my email address on the screen, and I want you guys to take a picture of my email address. I want all of you guys to do this. Now, after the service, if you don't like it, you can delete it. I want all men, women, I want you to take an email, a picture of this, because it might come in handy down the road. Can somebody say amen? Now, when I was a little kid, I used to play at my grandfather's house a lot, and I had an older cousin that used to torment me every time I was over, and he was over my grandfather's house. He was about 6 years older than me, and he used to play all kinds of tricks on me. And one day, I was over at my grandfather's house, and it was an old house. It was probably built in the 1920s, and it was in the city. And you know, in front of a house, there's these sewer systems, and there's a sewer cover. And so this sewer cover and the sewer system in front of my grandfather's house was probably about as old as the house. And so my cousin, who was older than me, he thought it might be a cool joke if he was to force my head down this sewer with an open sewer cover on it. And of course, at a young age, I was like 6, 5 years old. I'm screaming bloody murder. I'm like, stop it, stop it. I'm going to die. And I'm just mortified by what I see inside of this sewer system. I see beetles. I see slug-looking things. I see night crawlers. Anybody know what a night crawler? Those are the really long earthworms. I see all kinds of dark, nasty things that you wouldn't put your hand in, let alone shove your head down in. And I learned a very powerful lesson that day, that nothing good grows in the dark. Can you say that together? Nothing good grows in the dark. See, I want you to keep your phones out today because you might need them to take a few notes. You might want to share this on social media. You might know a friend that might be interested in this as well. Also, if you have missed it for the last 3 weeks, we have been in a series of messages called The Vow. And it is largely about marriage. Today, we're going to discuss some things in marriage. But even if you're not married, this is going to be largely about you as well. See, sometimes we keep things in the dark, don't we? We keep things in our marriage or in our relationships in the dark. And it causes problems, and oftentimes it causes unintended consequences that do lots and lots of damage. Can someone say amen? These consequences of keeping things in the dark can tear through the middle of your heart like someone ripped it in two. And just to give you a little disclaimer today, this may be a hard one for some of you. I don't know how many jokes I'm going to get out today. Some of you guys may cry, and it's okay to cry. If the purity of your marriage or your past marriage or the relationship that you've been in has been destroyed by cheating or lying, or controlling, or anything like that, this may be especially difficult for you. If you have parents who went through some things that I'm going to talk about, this may rekindle some old emotions that you may have had lying dormant. If you've been in a relationship, after relationship, after relationship, and the concept of something we're going to talk about today called purity. Everybody say that word, purity. That's like an ugly word in today's society. And what the world is that? That's not just a dairy company, Pastor Lance. The concept of purity may sound like a foreign language to you. This may be difficult for you as well. See, no one plans on committing adultery one day when they get married, do they? No one plans on being addicted to pornography, do they? But yet, statistics say, inside the church, let me say that again, I'll say it real slow. Inside the church at large, 68% of men watch pornography. It's a little sobering, isn't it? Let that little sink in. 68%. We had a men's group the other day when we were talking about this. That's what, 22% don't. Wow. No one plans on having an emotional affair in their marriage. When your heart starts to drift towards another person, maybe you and your spouse don't really get along, but there's this little, they call it a side piece at the men's group the other day, Pastor Lance. This little side piece gets your attention. And you start to laugh at their jokes and they laugh at your jokes and you start to seek their affirmation. You may have stumbled onto an emotional affair. No one plans on lying to their spouse, but like the movie Elf, you sit on a throne of lies. You love that movie, don't you, Pastor Lance? And the one thing that all of these things I just listed have in common is that all of these things involve secrecy. And I've got a big thought for you today. I would love for you to write this in your notes or take a note on your phone. This is a big thought for today, that secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. Now, things did not start off this way, but somehow they became this way. And we're going to take a look. If you could open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go back at the beginning. Sometimes when you want to figure out how things got the way they are, you have to go back to the beginning to find out what happened. That's what good counselors do. See, a lot of people who have problems in marriage, some people say we have financial problems. Well, usually there's something a little bit deeper than just the money. And sometimes as a good counselor, you got to go back and retrace, how did you get to this point? So we're going to take a look at that in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read chapter 20 or verse 24 and 25. I'm going to be reading it from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Everybody say, one flesh. "And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now, I've got a little guy named John at the house, and he used to run around in his diapers, and he was naked and unashamed. He would run down the stairs and he thinks he's naked because he's got his diaper on, and he would say things like, "I'm naked, boy." And he would shake and he'd run into another room and somebody else was there. "I'm naked, boy." See, he was unashamed. But something happens along the way, doesn't it? Where we start to get ashamed. Pastor Lance, it's interesting. When I do go to the pool with my family, people at the pool will have bikinis on and men will have their swimming trunks on, and they are not ashamed mostly. But it's funny, when they go back to the house, one of the first things we do is we close the blinds because we don't want people to see us. Isn't that interesting how we do that? We become ashamed all of a sudden. See, for the last 3 weeks, we've had these vows that we have went through. The first vow was, "I promise God will be my first priority and my spouse will be my number two." The second vow was, "I promise to always pursue my number two." That means that once you've been married, that doesn't give you an excuse to stop pursuing one another. And then the vow number three we had last week was, I promise that our marriage will be about we and not me. Somebody say amen. Well, today is the vow of purity. And this vow sounds like this. I promise to confide in you as my spouse and God and not hide from you. See, we can have a nasty little habit of hiding things. And also, if this concept of purity is a little foreign, we don't use this a lot. We'd say, well, pure as the driven snow. But what does the word pure really mean? In the context of the things that I'm about to talk about, what does purity mean? A vow of purity means that something is sincere, that has been purified by fire, it has been cleaned by pruning, it is not forbidden, it is free from corruption, free from sin and guilt, it is blameless, it is innocent, it is unstained with the guilt of anything. It is immaculate. It is the sinlessness of life. How many wish you had a marriage like that? A relationship like that, unstained, pure, immaculate. This is what happened with Adam and Eve. They were in the Garden of Eden. They were naked and unashamed. And then all of a sudden, something happened to the purity of what God created. God made everything good. And actually, when he finished up everything, he said, it is very good. But then something went wrong. Let's look over at Genesis chapter 3. One chapter over. This is when it all changed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. We're going to take a look at. All of you know that the serpent showed up. He tempted Eve. She ate the fruit. She turned to her husband. He ate the fruit. And then all of a sudden, something happened that had never happened, but has since then happened pretty much every day since this took place. Let's look at verse 8. And they, Adam and Eve, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Then my favorite verse in the whole Bible, I don't know why, Pastor Lance. And then the Lord said, who told you you were naked? I want a t-shirt that says that, Pastor Lance. Right there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. Who told you you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? See, God asks questions, not so that he can be informed. This is really important. Why would God ask a question? God is omniscient. He is omnipresent. That means he knows everything and he is everywhere. He knows what you have done before you tell him what you have done. See, God does not ask questions so that he can be informed, but that so you can be humbled. But so that you can be humbled. I believe God is asking questions today. Have you slept with another person that is not your spouse or that you're not married to? Have you looked at things that you should not have looked at? Have you said things that are not true? Have you failed to live up to God's standard of purity? We just read what God's standard of purity it is. See, whatever your definition of purity is in your own mind, it's not as high as God's standard of purity and holiness. Somebody say amen. I want to make another big bold statement to you. It is impossible to build a marriage of righteousness on a foundation of sin. And a whoosh goes through the crowd. It is impossible to build a marriage of righteousness. How many want to have a righteous marriage? That means in right standing before a holy God. You cannot build a marriage of righteousness on a foundation of sin. And that's because sin causes us to feel fear and shame. And sin introduces new damaging thoughts into our minds that we previously would not have to think. Think about how sin can come into a marriage or into a relationship and do total damage and chaos. To give you an example, there are men who will cheat on their spouse, their wife, in a lot of different ways. Whether it's an emotional affair, they looked at pornography, they went out and found a prostitute, whatever they did, they went into a chat room. They still got chat rooms. You don't know. Why am I looking at you? Whatever it is that they have nowadays, like those dating websites, and you can, Tinder, that's what it is. How many of you guys know what Tinder is? Don't raise your hand. Y'all know what that mess is. Think about how much unintended damage can get done to a spouse. See, when one spouse does this, it causes new thoughts that the other spouse did not previously have to think of. Now they have to ask questions like this: how do I take care of the kids alone? The questions and thoughts of loneliness and abandonment and rejection that they hadn't previously thought of have now been absorbed into their mind and into their consciousness. Now they have thoughts of revenge can sometimes come into their mind. They did that to me, so I will do this to them to get them back. See, they didn't think about revenge. They didn't think going outside their marriage was an option. But now, because sin has come into the marriage or into the relationship, now a whole host of new thoughts start to grow in the dark. Thoughts of anger. You have a spouse that was sweet, humble, kind, gentle, and now sin has been introduced into the marriage, and now they have become bitter. They have become angry. And people are like, what's wrong with her? We talked about this in our men's group yesterday, that Mr. Nice Guy, everybody loves him, but you look at his wife and she is bitter, she's angry, she's short with everybody, and everybody looks at her like, what's wrong with her? Not realizing, come on people, not realizing she has faced the blunt reality that her husband has cheated, and she has all of these new thoughts and ideas that she doesn't know what to do with, and things that were in the dark for him, now there's new things that come in the dark for her. Somebody say, oh. Secrecy is the enemy of intimacy. Adam and Eve had a great intimacy with God. I don't know about you, but I would love to walk with God in the cool of the day. Hey, God, how you doing? Did you see the score of the Tennessee game? They're garbage. I would love to talk with God in the cool of the day. And they had access. But when secrecy came in, intimacy was destroyed. See, for Adam and Eve, they were banished from the garden. See, in marriage when intimacy is broken, there's a banishment from the heart. There's a banishment from the heart. See, the vow of purity can be difficult. Somebody say amen. It can be hard. God's standard of purity is so high. Let's take a look at how high this standard of purity is in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to take you here not to make you feel bad or to condemn you, but so that you can see the reality of God's expectations of what purity is and how far short we fall of it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, this is in the New International Version, the NIV. It says, but among you, This is talking to all y'all, all of us. That's how we say that. There's y'all, and then there's all y'all. That's the plural of y'all. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. See, the bar of purity is really, really high. And the reality is that all of us have failed it. See, purity is more than just sex. Somebody say amen. Purity also is what goes through your mind and your heart. You know, you can get mad at somebody and your thoughts become impure and you have failed to live up to God's holy standard. Jesus says, not only is murder bad, but if you think to kill your brother in your heart, you have already committed murder. Did you know that looking at someone in a sexual, lustful way, without even touching them, knowing them, getting their number or email or text or any of that, you have already committed adultery with them in your heart, so says Jesus. Somebody say amen. So now that we're all really down low, right? Bars up here, all of us, me too, we're way down here. All of us have failed this high standard. But here's some truth for you. Do you guys like truth? I love some truth. Like, please give me some truth right now. First, we're going to start off in our relationships. It is better for you, if you were married, to confess to your spouse that you have sinned. It is better for you to confess. There are some people out there who say, don't do that. There are people that you work with, people in our community that would tell you, don't confess, you'll make matters worse. Anybody ever heard that? She might divorce you if you tell her the truth. But what you have done by holding back the truth and keeping things in the dark, you have added a whole new host of problems. See, the sexual immorality was one problem. But I can tell you, after person that I've counseled and in my own life, it is always best to tell the truth. Because this is what happens. When you lie, that means that the person that you are married to, now they have to question everything that you do. They have to question your motives. They have to question where you're going. They have to question anything that you say and do, because not only has the marriage bed been broken in that trust and that covenant, but now trust itself, the truth itself, is up for question. Can somebody say amen? It's better to tell the truth than to have the lies to compact the damage that's already been done. See, this is what happens when we sin, unbeknownst to us a lot of times. First, we have offended a great and gracious God. Second, we have broken a just and righteous law of God. Third, we have violated a sacred covenant with God. Fourth, we have wronged our own souls. And we have forfeited God's favor by exposing ourselves to His wrath and curse. That is pretty horrible, isn't it? But I do, like I said, have a lot of good news for you right now. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. It's the last verse I want to give you today. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. I want to take my time in saying this verse because it is easy for us to feel condemnation and guilt for what we have done. See, before God, He knows everything that we've done. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. And He knows what we might be walking through right now. But still, He puts verses like this in the Bible to let us know that He doesn't want to leave us in misery, in shame, and in brokenness feeling that there's nothing that could ever happen. There are people in this room, I can imagine, that have gone through a divorce, have had an adultery, and they feel like life is never going to get better. This is going to be like a scarlet letter above me. Everybody can see it. I'm damaged goods. Life will never be better again. But that is a lie from the enemy. Because God's word is here to bring us comfort. It says, though your sins are like scarlet. Scarlet is a blood color. It's plain as day to see it. You might be able to hide it from your spouse, or you might be able to hide it from your friends or your family. But in the eyes of God, your sin are like scarlet. He can see it. You can't hide it. But he says, they shall be. Everybody say, shall be. They shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No matter how far you are gone in your marriage or in your life against God, and no matter what the sin was, no matter how dirty it was or how nasty it was or is or what you're going through, or maybe you're in bondage, you can't break free no matter what you've done or what you've tried. When you walk in the light as He is in the light, He is just, He is faithful to forgive you. If we will confess, repent, and pray to our God, if we will confess, repent, and pray to Jesus Christ, that our hearts will be exposed for the sin inside of us that has caused us to violate the standard of purity that He has set. I want to pray for you right now. If every one in this room could just bow your heads just for a moment. As I close, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, God, that although You have a high standard of purity, there are relationships in here that have failed, that are on the brink of failure because of sin, because secrecy has destroyed intimacy. But You are here to offer forgiveness to those who confess and repent by confession that, yes, I am guilty. Guilty as charged. And by repenting, by realizing that God's standard of purity is far higher than I realized. And though I have fallen short time and time again, I am looking to Jesus now as my only hope for salvation, the only hope for my marriage, the only hope for my soul. Father, there are marriages in here right now that have been riddled with sin, like a shotgun blast of sin. Father, I pray for grace over these marriages right now. Grace over every husband. Grace over every wife. And I pray as they come out of the shadows and come out of the darkness and bring all of this stuff into the light, I pray You would heal it, God. As humility fills a marriage and fills a husband's heart, a man's heart, a wife's heart, a woman's heart. God, You said that You reject the proud, but You give grace to the humble. I pray that there would be people today that would seek grace from an almighty God who is so loving that His word says that even while you were in your sin, Christ Himself died for you. Father, we thank You today that let today be the day where people will stand up, confess, repent, and receive that grace in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just agree. As our heads are bowed, I just want us to, Pastor Richard said so many great things. One of the things that really stuck out to me was you can't have a righteous, godly marriage on a foundation of sin. You know, secrecy is a real thing. And just as last week, we talked about how there needs to be conversation that happens between husband and wife after a message like this. Same goes for that today. Whatever's going on for the in the female or the male, if there's been adultery, if there's been an emotional affair, the Bible says as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. It really summarizes everything Pastor Richard just said. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all our sin. And as you guys begin to open up and share with one another, just remember what Pastor Richard said. See, the good news, I really felt like God was saying this all throughout this service. From Pastor Travis, what he said to the message. The good news today is our God is a God of second chances. And really, not just second chances, but third chances, fourth chance, fifth chance. Sixth chance. But that doesn't mean, just because God will forgive us, doesn't mean that reconciliation and restoration can happen. But here's my encouragement. Everybody look at me just for a moment. Here's my encouragement. If this has happened, I want you to know that the greatest marriage ever can be on the other side of this. I have seen it time and time and time again. When couples respond correctly, not meaning that there is hurt, there's anger, there's frustration, but in time, this can be, your marriage can be one of the greatest marriages that you ever could imagine. Because God uses things like this to radically transform our hearts. To change us. If it's the man or the woman, whoever, whatever has happened to, because what begins to happen is we begin to ask this simple question. It's a very simple question. But when this happens, what has to be asked is, God, no matter what party, God, what are you doing in me? What are you doing in me? And as you humble yourself, and it takes time. Again, I'm not saying it's going to happen immediately. But begin to stop pointing the finger. Because again, this is what Adam did. God, she is the reason why I sinned. He pointed the finger at Eve. If we can point the finger at ourselves and say, God, what are you doing in me? What do you want to change in me? I want you to know, in time, your marriage can be a godly, thriving, successful, life-giving, transforming Amen. Marriage. I promise. Amen. I know it's hard to see, but we got to be honest with one another. If your spouse begins to open up to you, here's my second word of encouragement. Don't ask too many questions. Because if you begin to ask too many questions, it only drags you further and further away. Now, again, you have every right to ask questions. You can ask any question you want. But I'm just telling you, the more the more of the questions, the more you just drag yourself back. You can say, God, I'm leaning on you and I'm trusting you. And then come get help. This is why we are here as a church. We are here not just to stand on stage and to scream at you every week. We're here to love you, to support you, to help you get to where God's taking you. But you have to open up yourself. God is a great God. Even though my sin may be red like crimson, He has washed me, Pastor Richard and I, you as white as snow. Father, we thank you. You know, if your spouse is here, just grab his or her hand. Thank you for truth and grace. Thank you for this word that just has gone forth. Lord, I thank you for the power of forgiveness. Thank you that you're a forgiving God. You're a God who loves us. Lord, you love us so much, you don't leave us in our immorality. You don't leave us in our mess. Lord, you draw near to us in moments like this. Lord, I thank you today through repentance and faith in you that you've come to make all things new. And I pray for my friends today. I pray that what we've talked about this morning will be talked about with one another. That husband would open up to wife, that wife would open up to husband. And Lord, that simple question, God, what do you want to do in me? Lord, you want to change all of us. You're conforming each of us into your own image. Lord, we just say, have your way in us today. God, I thank you for restoration and healing in every relationship, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Go ahead, Pastor.
Guys, I had one more thing. I forgot to tell you why I wanted you to take a picture. And really, it's for that 68% of men that have some sexual integrity issues. And maybe you've heard this today, and maybe I believe the Spirit of God is prompting you. Now might be the time to get some help. For many men, had an issue from 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, addicted to pornography and thought it would go away with marriage and it didn't, and thought it would go away with something else and it didn't. I just want you to know that that email address is for you. If you email me, I will make sure that you can get some help and you can begin to walk in freedom, in the light. In the light means not by yourself. That means walking with some men of God who will begin to push each other to a higher standard than what you've been walking under. The standard that God Himself has set for us. And it is possible. Freedom is possible. Can somebody say amen? That's it.
Champ, great job. And I will just, Pastor Richard, guys, is a tremendous resource for this. He has walked so many men through this. Take advantage of this great man of God that you have here, right here at Bethel Community Church. He has a system, accountability system. He has all these things in place. He has been trained to be able to help men with this. Take advantage of this, men. Don't hide any longer. What a great message. What a great series. Guys, I encourage you to go to our podcast, BethelCommunity.Church. You can listen again to these messages. Maybe you want to send these messages to somebody. You can do that through our podcast as well. Guys, this whole month of October, we've been receiving our missions offering. We're going to do so. This is really the last Sunday you can give into our missions offering. We'll be receiving it on a Sunday morning. It really goes towards the missionaries that we support here at Bethel Community Church. You see these awesome pictures here on screen here. These are our missionaries to our high school, college campus, also top left to Mumbai, India. See, guys, the Bible talks about how we are called to take the gospel to the nations. But the thing about it is, a lot of us, because of our job, because of our families, we're not able to be able to do this. Therefore, there's a way that we can support the kingdom of heaven being advanced, not just in the nations, but also on the high school and college campus, and that's through our missions offering. We have missionaries that are going out for the sake of His name to see the kingdom be advanced. And we, in a sense, as Bethel, want to be a partner of them to help them continue to do what God's called them to do. These are real people. So every dollar amount that is raised throughout this mission offering, along with our golf scramble that we just had about a month ago, is going towards these great men and women. If you want to give today, you can make a check simply out to Bethel Community Church. If you want to give cash, you can do so in the envelope. And also, if you want to go online, you can do so there as well and give to these missionaries. Father, we thank you for these great men and women, God, that have answered the call to go. God, we just pray grace, Lord, upon them. Lord, we pray that no weapon formed against them would prosper. Lord, as we give to them financially, God, we thank you. It's an opportunity to continue to see your message go forth, Lord, around this world, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys so much for giving this morning into our missions offering. Guys, we got some exciting things coming up here at Bethel Community Church. One thing that we want to do before this year ends is have one more baptism. And so if you've given your life over to Jesus Christ, really the next step for you is to be water baptized. And we'd love for you to sign up to do that. If you take that connection card out, simply write your name, your email, and your best phone number. Turn that into our connection point table. We'll get in contact with you, give you all the information that you need to be able to invite your friends and your family, because that is a life-changing moment, water baptism. It's when we go public with our faith that we've confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life, and we're going public with that. We'll have the date for you here soon, but if you sign up, we'll get in contact with you, give you all the information that you need. Once you've given,